Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Radio Row, tremendous writer for The Athletic, Fox Sports College analyst, Bruce Feldman with us. Bruce, Big Ten Media Days kicked off, Coach Frost a little while ago, and I know you were on hand at Nebraska for some of the spring practices. What are a couple of things you think you're going to see year one under Scott Frost that will be different from the Nebraska you've seen the last 5 to 10 years?
I just think you'll see a lot more energy. It's his personality. It's that staff's personality. I think the offense will be a lot more dynamic. You know, I'm curious to see what whether it's Adrian Martinez, is the trigger man or not, I don't know. But I'd be shocked if this program does not get cranked up sooner than later. I just think that the way his personality is, what the staff has, the level of buy-in, I think people are desperate for that now.
Nebraska fans are very desperate for better times. And with Frost and that personality, that energy you touched on, I'm anxious to see how, as you head in, what do you think Nebraska is in the landscape of the Big Ten? What's the gap for Nebraska to Wisconsin? Incredible program. And then there's the East.
Yeah, I don't think, to me, Wisconsin is the best offensive line in the country, not just the conference. They have a stud running back in Jonathan Taylor and an experienced quarterback who went and lit up a pretty talented Miami defense. You know, right now, they are a ways away. Now, I know Nebraska could play with some of these teams last year, but I just think consistency-wise, maturity-wise, they're not there. I don't think they have the big people, the same caliber of big people. They don't have that NFL starting running back kind of guy. There's a few pieces in place, but it's after Wisconsin then. You know, Iowa has, I really like Nate Stanley, their quarterback. He's very talented. You know, really good tight end in Noah Fant, but some of the other pieces are not Wisconsin level. So I think, you know, Jeff Brohm's one of the best coaches in, you know, not just in the conference, probably in the country. But I think after Wisconsin, I think it's up for grabs at that point.
Bruce Feldman, a few minutes with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. How do you see the East shaking up? I mean, where Haskins is new, yes, but Ohio State's still loaded. Michigan, big year for Coach Harbaugh. Sparty's quietly under the radar. I mean, who do you think survives the East?
You know, I think Ohio State will. Haskins is new, but he's so talented. I mean, he's the best passer Urban Meyer's probably ever had. They have a lot of experience at receiver. They have a lot of speed. I think he can take advantage of it. Two really good running backs, loaded defense and defensive line. To me, it's going to come down to Ohio State and Wisconsin in the title game. And I think both of those teams are legit playoff contenders.
They are. Is this a year the Big Ten could get to it?
I think it's possible.
Maybe we'll start with one.
Yeah. Let's start with one before we get to two. But I think both of them, I would say, are top five teams.
Sure, sure. Does Penn State drop back with Moorhead moving on?
They still have the quarterback. Is Trace McSorley, I talked to Jimmy Lake, who played him in the bowl game. That's the Washington defensive coordinator. And he was like, man, he is so tough to play because he is such a competitor and buys time. And they still have, there's no Saquon, but they still have a lot of big athletic receivers. And I just think the level that James Franklin has recruited, they have brought in more athletes. And I don't think they're going away. I don't know if they're the top five team, but I think they're a top 15 team.
Northwestern, where do they kind of fit into the Big Ten, and what's Michigan State do this year?
I think Northwestern is somewhere in that batch, with
Purdue,
Iowa, Purdue, yeah. Whereas I think Michigan State, our crew at Fox Sports had them three times last year. They were really young and really talented. I really like Brian Lewerke. He's smart. He's accurate. He runs actually pretty well. They have a lot of pieces in place. I think they're a top 10 team. It's just, as long as they cannot, you know, avoid some turnovers. They had some issues last year with L.J. Scott, and that was kind of like a thing for a little bit. But I think they can beat anybody on any Saturday. They're that good.
Bruce Feldman, a couple more minutes with us. Hail Varsity Radio, The Athletic. Can find him and read him and subscribe to The Athletic. Also, a Fox Sports college football analyst. You see Bruce on Saturdays. When we look at a bigger kind of, let's zoom out for college football, any candidate that comes to mind to dethrone Bama?
You know, Clemson, they have the best defensive line in the country. They have a lot of speed. The quarterback is going to be an issue. We don't really know what we're getting yet, whether it's Trevor Lawrence or back with Kelly Bryant. Mm-hmm. I think they're really good. I think Washington's going to be really good. I like Wisconsin. I like Ohio State. To me, those are the best five. You know, Nick Saban has to replace his secondary. They still have a lot of talent. We're going to find out who's going to be the quarterback. They're still really good, but this is also, he overhauled half his staff. I would be surprised if they're not in the playoff, but once they're in the playoff, who knows? You know, I don't think the gap between them and everybody else is that big.
What's the margin of error for Washington or your Pac-12 champ?
I think if Washington loses the first week against Auburn, and it's a game, it's not at Auburn, but it's in Atlanta, mm-hmm. against Jarrett Stidham and one of the best quarterbacks in the country, I think that would torpedo the Pac-12's hopes, because the perception after going 1-8 and then to lose to Auburn when this is the best team in the conference, I think that would really, really hurt the Pac-12. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I think the Huskies with Chris Peterson, with Jake Browning, I think they're built to handle that test.
Bruce Feldman's with us. Do you have a favorite Coach Leach memory?
The one, they were going to play, he was at Texas Tech, they were going to play Texas, and I was with them for the week, and it was at UT, and he was going to act the night before the game in a scene from Friday Night Lights,
right.
And
yeah.
I was like, what head coach does that the night before a big game? And I said, are you nervous? He goes, no, I'm not nervous. I've acted before. And I said, what have you acted in? And he said, I've been in a couple movies. I was like, what? And then it turned out he was in a really bad really bad miniseries, and also a terrible movie called Grunt, the wrestling movie, which you can find on the internet. And he wasn't lying. He's been in movies. He didn't have a big role, but he was in them.
Offensively, let's wrap and bring it back to Nebraska. Are you betting that this offense is the strength of the team for this first season under Coach Frost? Or do you think the defense is going to be the difference maker if they overachieve and hit that 7-8-9 win total?
I think it's probably going to be the offense. You know, we'll see if Trey Bryant can hold up. They have really good receivers, I think. We don't know who's going to be the quarterback, but we know who's going to coach him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would bet on the offense.
Is Scott's difference, and I mean, I've covered him when he was in college, so I kind of get his personality, but when it comes to just being an elite play caller, is he there? Is he close to being there? Because that's kind of what folks smile about in the Big Ten West. You got Frost now and you have Brohm, when it comes to not just making that right play call, but the timing of it.
Yeah, I think you look at what he did at UCF. It's hard to find anyone who has done better than he has. I mean, there's a confidence there that just overwhelms you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a key to it.
Bruce Feldman with us, The Athletic and Fox Sports. Bruce, nice to speak with you again. Thanks for the time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
We're lucky enough to have Gerald Foster with us, senior offensive lineman for Nebraska football. Gerald is across the table. Stanley is dressed to the nines, as are you, and we're doing a little fashion sense here. So what are you wearing?
What I'm wearing, I got a little custom-made piece. I went to Men's Warehouse to get it done. So nice little blue suit. You can't see, but I got a little red in line, you know, trying to do something different. But it's always fun to be able, you know, to get dressed up and have a little fun with it. So they said, get what you can. I said, I'll do what I can. I came out and I thought I was going to be the best dressed, and I saw Stan and I was like, well, I'll take second best, I guess.
It's not bad. We were talking ribeyes and steaks. Scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your ribeye last night?
I'm gonna have to throw it around a 8.
Okay,
it's an 8.
Okay, too much marbling, not enough marbling, not big enough. What was the?
It was a little too much marbling. That
okay.
was
okay. All right, that's fine. Gerald Foster's with us. Gerald, what do you love about this offense? And we'll get into some off-season talk here in a second, but. You've seen what Central Florida is able to do. You've been here now for a long portion and a long run here as a Nebraska football player. Now you have another offense to learn, another offense to execute. Give me your optimism level to be really good on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, I think as soon as the offensive line figures out exactly what's going on, and we get down our part of the game, the way that this offense is set up, it's going to really make it so our skill positions flourish, and they're going to be able to have the big plays that everybody wants to see, you know, with Stan going down the sideline or one of our running backs coming out of the backfield. But it's been a whole lot easier to understand this this offense. For an offensive lineman's perspective, this is more of a college-styled offense than what we had before, which just makes it so it's that much easier in the sense of learning it. So coming into this year, I really am excited about what's going on. We have a lot of age and experience on the offensive line. So when we get down what we need to in the sense of our calls and just the understanding of how the plays are ran, I really do feel confident that the quarterbacks to running backs to wideouts are really going to put on a show for our fans.
Hey, Gerald. Getting it down is key, but how is that? How's that going?
Can you say it again?
I said getting it down is very key for the offensive line.
Yeah.
How are you in that process?
Oh, we're definitely on our way. This isn't like, you know, we're at zero or anything
right,
crazy
right.
like that. I'd say we're about 80% there.
Okay.
We need about this 20% of fall camp, which I feel like is something that, you know, you expect out of yourself. But as soon as we get just a little, I mean, it's nothing crazy. We know the plays. We know most of the, you know, the basic kind of calls, but being able to get the, you know, the little, maybe this happens once every three game kind of call, we need to be able to get those down. And just the understanding of one another, like if we see, you know, maybe this might be a stunt, maybe this kind of team has a better package when, you know, they're putting 4D ends in. Just being able to understand that is something that I think that you have to learn. Learn maybe through the fire a little bit, which is what the fall camp is.
Okay, I'm getting the exit stage left stare real quick before you go. Not from you. I need to know how the quarterbacks are shaking out and, two, how the summer workouts have been, because I saw a video. You're saying, give me this pain. I love this pain. You know, you saw it on social media. How's the bonding been? How are the quarterbacks, too?
Quarterbacks, they're both, well, all of them are all young, which is, it's fun to pick on quarterbacks just because, you know, that's always an offensive lineman's favorite task, but they're young guys, but the best thing about them is how competitive they all are. Their competitive nature is something that I really am excited about. Being able to see them all out there every day, you know, putting in the work for the team and then coming in on their own time just to be able to get that, you know, maybe that step ahead of the other guy is something that I'm happy about. And through fall camp, I think that them being able to compete against each other is going to be a positive for them all, just in the sense of only one gets to play, but they're all going to have their level of you know, skill and play in the game is going to go up that much just from the competitive nature. And what was the second question?
I need to shut up. The the summer workouts?
Oh, just summer workouts.
The bonding that's gone on.
Yeah, so the summer workouts have been hard. They have. It's been a whole lot of work, and we've done things that I know none of us thought that we were going to be able to do. We pushed, you know, our ceilings that much higher, and I really am happy about just the success that we've had this summer and this in the off season, in the building of our players. And I really do feel like, you know, we've all gotten stronger, faster, and more explosive. Maybe it's because, you know, we're working harder, but again, it might just be from the competitive nature that they, you know, they put on us throughout this summer, making us want to beat each other. And I feel like that's built the confidence in ourselves and in as a team, you know, just being able to bring one another, you know, up and being able to help another person push past what they thought their limits were.
Gerald Foster, man, that's awesome insight as to kind of the growth and the progression you guys have put forth, and we're excited to see you this fall. Thanks for jumping by here on ESPN, man.
Hey, thanks, awesome. Gerald.
Yeah, no problem.
Good stuff there from Schmitty. He's live from the Windy City for Big Ten Media Days today. We'll have content all this show with a bunch of interviews that Schmitty's got lined up for us. Next, we got Paul Meyerberg covering college football with USA Today, then Clayton Thorson, Northwestern's quarterback after that, and then finishing off the first hour, Nick Scott, Penn State's safety. And then we got a bunch more coming up in the second hour, so you're not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned to Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you here, Radio Row, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Talented college football writer does a good job of covering the sport we all love here with USA Today. Paul Meyerberg back on the show. Paul, it's been a while, man. What's new?
Oh, it has been a while, but it's football season, right?
It is.
It's great to be on in the land of what? State? The corn state?
The land of the good life.
The good life. Okay, always good to be on in the good life. Yeah, Nebraska has been the one of the main stories of Big Ten Media Days, no doubt.
And yesterday was kind of Scott Frost Day, and you've covered the program, and you've done features on Nebraska each year. I think we had you on when Riley had taken over. Now it's Scott Frost. There's been the Bo Pelini years. What's kind of your feel about Nebraska right now under Frost? What did you take away from his thoughts yesterday?
Frost is impressive. You know, he's an impressive person. And I think he's an impressive coach for the basic idea that he is able to communicate ideas. You know, and I think he's an ideas guy, but more importantly, he's a guy who can relate those ideas, whether it's schematically, his vision for the program, his blueprint for how long this is going to take, how quickly he's flipped this roster, I think is extremely impressive. It's safe to say, and I think it's fair to say, that the feeling that surrounds Nebraska from a national perspective today is miles removed from the perspective that people like myself had of the Riley era, had of the Pelini era. I think this is the beginning of a special era for Nebraska.
That's the hope for a lot of Nebraska fans to kind of get back. And I don't know if the 90s will ever be recreated, but he is going to have – as close as he can, that mentality and that work ethic put back in the program, mm-hmm. kind of in the image of Osborne, right? And from a national perspective, what was Nebraska's view in your eyes with Riley, even with Pelini? And is it just because Frost's familiarity? Is that kind of the game changer you see it, why it will be different?
That's a substantial difference, I think, certainly for Riley. And knowing Mike as I did when he took the job and as he got there, there was always a feeling of lack of confidence from him.
Okay.
And I think from that entire staff, from the entire feeling of the program. And I think that lack of confidence stemmed from the idea of, do we really know how to make this work? Do we know what it takes to win here? I'm not going to say Pelini didn't have an idea how to do that. I just think he went about it in a very incorrect and wrong way of how to build it and maintain it. One of Frost's great advantages and something that separates him, I think, from the other first-year coaches you're seeing across the country is the idea that – yes, he's fully aware that you can't necessarily open up that can again, like you said, repeat 91 to 98, 92 mm-hmm. to 98, whatever it is. But at the same time, he understands that there are certain universal ideas that made Nebraska great once. And if Nebraska is great again, it won't be with something new that he invents. It'll be based on those kind of bedrock or foundation that has shown to be successful. You know, so offensively, he's at the cutting edge. I think what he's doing offensively is going to take every team that he plays in this conference by surprise because they haven't seen it yet. And you see that confidence from him because he doesn't, you know, invent things. He doesn't lie about things, I don't think. And I think when he looks at the defenses in this league and says, I think that we will surprise teams, think they'll have to adjust to us, I think that's true. Because I don't think that in this league, regardless of what Ohio State wants to be or what they have been, I don't think a team has brought offensively a model that Frost is going to bring. Probably not in 18, but by 19-20, you'll see it rolling.
You know, the tempo and the speed is going to be the difference maker. Paul Meyerberg, USA Today with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Radio Row, day two of Big Ten Media Days. He's got some, he inherited some good skill guys. The receiving group looks good. They went and done some JUCO things. Greg Bell could be nice. We don't know who quarterback's going to be.
I think it's going to be Martinez.
I think it is, too. I think it is, too. But until he names it, I just, part of me with just a second of hesitation there sure. is because you look at the strength, and that's your receiving group. And I don't know in Verduzco or Frost's eyes how far away is Martinez as a thrower from yeah. where Jebby is at.
It's an interesting question.
Or the other guys.
Yeah, for sure. I just think that. A, there's something powerful about being handpicked compared to being inherited. I think that's an important difference to consider. At the same time, Frost knows more than anybody the difference that it makes to for a defensive coordinator or a defense to prepare for just the idea that if a play breaks down, this guy can kill us. So to have that seed in the back of the head of a coordinator or a defense, I think, is a tipping point in Martinez's favor. But at the same time, Nebraska is an example of a school that can use this new redshirt rule to their advantage. Because it could be September, those first four games, and whether you're alternating series or you give Martinez the job, it gives you an idea of what he's about and what he can achieve. And if you don't like it, then you put him back on ice, and he's a redshirt freshman next mm-hmm. year. Or if something happens to Jebby in November, he comes back out and plays. So I think that's an advantage in Frost's favor that he can get an audition for Martinez.
And Coach Frost talked about, get us now because we're going to be good soon, right?
Right.
So do you launch Adrian this year? You take your lumps as a true freshman, and you know their road schedule. I mean, right. it's Michigan, it's Wisconsin, it's Iowa, it's Ohio State. I mean, it's brutal. And go get that baptism by fire now, so in 19 and 20 and beyond, you just kind of – you're used to it.
Yeah.
You're ready for it.
Yeah,
do you roll that dice?
Yeah, and that's obviously and 100% the reason why Joe Burrow, the kid who went to LSU, mm-hmm. was not an option for Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at the kind of return on investment on that. Yeah, you'd get an immediate boost, maybe, because we don't even know what Burrow's about because he hasn't played that much. But you do that and you sacrifice the growth that you'd see from either Martinez or Jebbia in 19 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, due to the nature of who he is at Nebraska, where Nebraska is as a program, more than anybody else in the country, Scott Frost gets a mulligan. So, you know, he can roll the dice, like you said, this year, take some lumps to the Martinez, fully aware that by 19 or 20 it's going to pay off. And he's looking at 19 as the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think 19 is when they'll compete.
Yeah, compete for the West, find your way to Indy. I wanted to kind of get your take, too. Paul Meyerberg's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Is the window of Wisconsin, how wide open is that window? They were great last year. They're still loaded this year. And then where do they go? Alvarez is incredible. It's the Nebraska blueprint up in Madison for 25 years mm-hmm. with development and depth and toughness and physicality. Is Wisconsin, do they got to get it done this year? Or do you think they still have some room to dethrone, to knock off?
They have time. Nebraska's coming. I mean, that's not – I'm not saying this just to pander to the masses. Nebraska's coming.
No, you've always been pretty objective right. and locked in on what Nebraska is and isn't.
Yeah, Nebraska's coming. So in that sense, yeah, the window of time could be shrinking. We don't know for sure, but just on paper, you kind of assume that. I think this year's team, Wisconsin's the best in the Big Ten. And I know that the best roster is in Columbus, no doubt. The best individual player might be in Ann Arbor and Rashawn Gary. The best – team is Wisconsin, because that offensive line is the nation's best. That quarterback, Hornibrook, I don't think he gets any respect, but Paul Chryst thinks he's fantastic. That's good enough for me. That running back is a Heisman guy. If you're Wisconsin and the question about you right now is, can you stop the run and it's July, you're going to be okay. Because
they do.
Yeah, the last time Wisconsin didn't stop the run, Nebraska was playing for a national title. So, I mean, that's how much things have changed since the last time Wisconsin can do it. So, yeah, I think Wisconsin's in the mix this year, not just for a Big Ten title, that's a given, but to play for and win a national championship. On a given day, I think they can beat anybody.
Where are you at with Michigan and Shea Patterson and what Harbaugh wants to do with their offense or can do with their offense?
When it comes to the last part about what he wants to do with the offense, I'm in prove me mode right now, because we just haven't seen schematically anything that separates them or makes them different or takes advantage of the fact they have some guys who can make plays. In the great sense, I can't shake the idea that Michigan is a true contender. And a lot of that, obviously, you look at Shea Patterson. Some of that is the fact that he was a big-time recruit, but he did play well at Ole Miss.
Did really well.
So I think they're there. To me, it's Ohio State, Wisconsin, 1A, 1B, 1B, 1A. And then you have a group where it's Michigan State, Michigan, Penn State in some order. And I think Michigan, look, they've almost beat Ohio State before. It's not like they're like 6 years behind. They've almost been there. So if Patterson is 75% as advertised, I think they're a legitimate playoff contender.
We'll wrap with this. And Paul Meyerberg's with us here, Radio Row USA Today. It's good to speak with him and get some thoughts on the Big Ten in college football. Ohio State, Haskins, does he step in and maintain what they are? To your reaction to Coach Meyer and how the Coach Smith firing and kind of cloud that swirled the last couple of days. How do you think he's handled that?
Well, the first part, Haskins is lacking behind JT Barrett in this kind of leadership intangible. And I think you can see how important Barrett was when you talk to Meyer about him, because he praises him now. He's been gone for almost a year. So that's going to be a tough hurdle for them to overcome. But Haskins, against Michigan last year, baptism by fire that we talked about, he responded well. He's the starter today. He'll be the starter in September. I just want to see how, when you look at X's and O's and personnel, how different they're going to be, because we've heard this refrain every single year about this is the year you'll see more downfield passing, this year you'll see a more traditional running game, and it never comes true. So I'm kind of in wait and see on him, but clearly the talent's there. I saw him as a 16 and 17-year-old, and you kind of could tell that he had the ability to play at a high level here. And as for the Zach Smith saga, I'm still focusing on one question, in which we haven't had the answer to, which is, Meyer says the 2009 incident was no big deal. He didn't find anything there. There were no charges filed. He says the 2015 incident was not a big deal. He says the incident from last week, not a big deal. The question is, if none of these things are a big deal, then why'd you fire the guy? And I don't think we have an answer for that, and I'd be interested in knowing what he has to say about it.
You know, and there's three separate incidents. There's three separate investigations by the law, first of all, but then also Urban, and now you have your recruiting coordinator and a guy that's been pretty vital to landing some of the big time talent. I think Ohio State will sell themselves, they'll get who they want, but don't kid yourself, Zach Smith was a pretty big part, and Urban hung with him as long as he could.
Yeah, and this past offseason, Zach Smith did poke around and see what else was available. Mm-hmm. So I think that I wouldn't say the relationship had come to an end, but certainly I think Zach Smith and Urban Meyer had discussed the opportunity to progress his career further, maybe an offensive coordinator or whatever it may be. Like you said, Ohio State's going to be fine. I think it's weird right now to talk about how he is as a coach, because the real situation is far beyond football. But as a coach, he didn't do an outstanding job with the wide receivers, it's safe to say. So if we're going to focus on football, you could even make the case that losing Smith will eventually result in an upgrade for Ohio State's coaching staff.
They go hire coordinators or former head coaches. They could do that again. Talking with a couple of the Ohio State guys, and they've got Grinch, who was really good at Washington
Crazy.
State. They have Schiano.
Kevin Wilson, Ryan Day, Larry Johnson. I mean,
Larry Johnson's a legend, man, and to pluck him from Penn State was nuts.
It's not out of the realm of possibility that your team's NFL head coach will be coaching Ohio State's wide receivers next year.
Yeah, they'll get paid to do so, and they'll win. They'll win a lot. It's Paul Meyerberg, USA Today. Paul, love to get caught up with you during football season.
Absolutely.
Again. Nice to see you again.
Good seeing you.
Take care. We'll step away and be back with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Welcome back to Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. I'm Danny Burke alongside Schmitty here. You can find us on Twitter at DannyBurke5, at Schmidt_radio. Good stuff from Schmitty so far. Got some solid interviews with Bruce Feldman of The Athletic, Gerald Foster, and Paul Meyerberg covering college football for USA Today. Well, Schmitty's live in the Windy City for the Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. Right now, he's got Clayton Thorson with him, the quarterback of Northwestern.
More Northwestern Wildcats here on Radio Row, and senior quarterback Clayton Thorson is with us. Clayton, thanks for a few minutes, man. It's been fun watching you play through your career, and I know Nebraska fans are excited to see another matchup here in the near future with Nebraska and Northwestern. What is it about that game that makes it so dicey? They're 3-point wins, they're 2-point wins. I think you're unbeaten at Memorial Stadium, aren't you?
Yeah, I think the last time we lost, I mean, obviously when I've been there, we've been unbeaten, but the last time we lost there was
Hail Mary.
When the Hail Mary. And I remember last year we got about 5 seconds left and they call Hail Mary, and I'm like, holy cow. If we score here, this is awesome. This is great payback. But I think it's just two good teams, and really I think programs who do it the right way. You know, we go to Lincoln, and people always talk about, oh, how's that stadium? Really, it's one of my favorite stadiums to play in, not only because the fans are just crazy, but because I walk in there and they're encouraging me before the game, and then after the game,
is that, like, freak you out?
It's kind of weird. One of our players turned to me and goes, is this some, like, one of the freshmen, is this some sort of mind game? I said, no. I said, no, they're actually this nice. And so it's fun, but I think it's really just, you know, once you play one close game, I think the odds are next year you're probably gonna play a close game too, because everyone remembers it.
Sure. And you have that yin and yang that's constant.
Yeah,
they got us at home, let's go get them at their place.
Yeah,
the road team has been better.
Yeah, they have, and obviously that's something we're hoping to change this year, but it's been a fun battle.
Clayton Thorson's with us. A few minutes here, Hail Varsity Radio, quarterback for the Wildcats. Take me back, tell me your story about Coach Fitz, and I remember what you did in Lincoln with your legs in running the football and then throwing the football, but how did you end up at Northwestern? What were your choices like, and how'd you narrow it down?
Yeah, you know, I was grateful enough and thankful enough to be offered scholarships from really all different conferences across the country, but I narrowed it down to I wanted to play in the Big Ten because I knew my family were really close. There's five siblings, and now two of us are married and two are about to get married, and so I think I knew I wanted to play closer to home so that my family could come see me play. So in the Big Ten, they can always drive 2 hours pretty much anywhere besides Nebraska and, you know, Penn State, Rutgers, Maryland. But I think that was big for me. And so as I did that, narrowed it down to, okay, what teams do I like? And Coach Fitzgerald really stuck out to me, a guy of high character and someone who did things the right way. And so I think that was a big thing that led me to him.
You're a Wheaton, Illinois guy, right?
Yes.
And I think that's Tanner Farmer?
Tanner Farmer.
Yeah.
Around there.
Yeah.
Around the Chicagoland area.
Yeah. Yep. Tanner's, I believe. Yep. Danny, jump in here and fix me, but I believe Tanner's a Wheaton, Illinois kid. Do we have our facts correct there?
Yeah, I believe he's around the area. I'm going to double check here. I don't know if it's exactly right there, but.
Okay. Yeah.
Right, so, in that neck of woods, though.
That neck of woods. Tell me about Wheaton is where I was going with this.
Yeah, Wheaton's a great place. You know, Billy Graham went to Wheaton College, and so, you know, big Christian environment. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of churches, and so it's a great place to be raised. I got a friend, actually former player, Max Chapman, who now works at Nebraska.
Okay.
And so he lives in Lincoln, and he's telling me about, you know, there's a church on just about every corner and talking about the great people. And so it kind of seems like a little bit like Lincoln. Okay. At different points, obviously not the great college town. But Wheaton's a great place, you know, somewhere where I could see myself raising my kids, but mm-hmm. but obviously that's a far off.
Yeah, football to finish. Few minutes, you're Clayton Thorson with us, quarterback, Northwestern. You're on Hail Varsity Radio, Radio Row, and Clayton, you have another chance here to put back-to-back double-digit win seasons together. Northwestern's been just thriving. 10-3 last year. Back-to-back 10-win season. So what has shifted for this program culturally to kind of take that next step? Because you guys, the next step for you now is a division title, and you've been right there. You've done well against Wisconsin. You've done really well against Ohio State. And so how do you take that next step?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think something that's different about our program that I feel like, as I've talked to some of my friends, is that the older guys, even though they're coming into their maybe fourth or fifth years, they're helping the younger guys. And so I think that's something that helps, is you won't get a senior who thinks they're too big to help a freshman coming in. And so everyone's going to know what they're doing, and that starts from a young age. And so I think that's something that Trevor Simeon and those guys really instilled into us, is helping everybody when they come in. You can't be a big shot. You know, it's your duty to help those guys, because you can't be around the coaches for 4 months. And so I think that's huge. And so that team camaraderie, I think, has helped so much. And that's only just increased, really, since I've been here. And that's something that we pride ourselves on. So I think that's huge, and something that not every school has.
You know, paying it forward's nice to talk about, but it really takes seniors to do it.
Yeah.
How have you tried to do that with your position on offense, with your position in the locker room? Is it something that's easy for you to do?
Yeah, it is. It's something that thankfully has been done to me in high school and in college. And so it really seems like if I didn't do that, it would be abnormal. And, you know, credit to the guys who have taught me in high school and college. But I feel like that's an easy thing for me to do. You know, as we're watching practice, as we're in practice, as we're, you know, in the weight room, just talking to guys, if I see something, hey, you know, what about this way? Have you thought about this? And so it's not coming from a place of, hey, this is how you need to do it. Mm-hmm. It's more of a place of, this is what I've done and what I've learned. And so I think that comes naturally to me, and thankfully it does for a lot of guys.
A thought here as we wrap up. Clayton Thorson's joining us here, Hail Varsity Radio. Tell me about this new practice facility and what it's been like.
It's awesome. It's much bigger and better than I thought it was going to be.
Right on the beach,
which is cool.
Man.
Right on the beach. So we literally walk out the back door and walk right onto the beach. Or you can sit on a patio on the third floor and eat breakfast and look out over the skyline and see the lake and see our practice fields. So it's awesome. You know, I've been waiting for this facility for my whole time here, and I get it for 6 months, and thankfully there's an alumni locker room too.
Last thought, how are you feeling? How are you doing? Yep. And folks that I know who follow your program, I've touched base with, because I'm wondering what is Thorson going to be ready to go? How's the comeback been for you?
It's been really good. You know, I think first of all, I've learned so much about myself, really, and just about life in general. And so I think that's been probably the coolest part, is seeing how I've grown from December 29th till right now. Mm-hmm. But I'm feeling really good, knees healthy, and I feel like myself again.
Clayton, look forward to seeing you, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks
Appreciate
for having
it.
Me.
Good stuff right there from Schmitty. Once again, talking with Clayton Thorson, the quarterback of the Northwestern Wildcats. Had some funny things to say, especially talking about the Nebraska fans, wondering if them being nice was just a mind trick. Nope, that's just Nebraska nice, as they say. Well, we got one more interview before we end the first hour. Nick Scott, the safety of Penn State, coming right after this break. You're listening to Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Now, we're going to talk to Nick Scott about what happened in 1982 on this. I'm kidding. Nick's laughing.
Absolutely.
How's the
the last 24 hours been? You get to Chicago, you kind of hang out. First, Nick, give us a backdrop of you, position. I thought I had it on here. Mm-hmm. And where are you from, man?
Okay, so I'm from Fairfax, Virginia. Currently, I play safety. I've been playing for 3 years.
Good secondary at Penn State.
Yep, great secondary. Great secondary coaches. Beforehand, I came in as a running back, actually.
Okay.
Made the switch over.
How'd that conversation go?
It went actually pretty well. I went to coach. I said, hey, coach, I got 26 reasons why I want to move from running back.
and here's my paper.
Right. it went pretty well. I was recruited as an athlete and things like that. So,
who'd you look at?
At safety?
Schools. Who, I mean, you Penn State, James Franklin. Gotcha, but who are you considering? I mean, the Chesapeake region's pretty legendary,
right.
For really high level football, Virginia specifically.
Right. So UVA, Virginia Tech, because I was in the Virginia area. Nebraska, actually.
Who recruited you for Nebraska?
Oh, I wish I could remember his name, but he was really involved. I feel bad. Great guy, great coach.
It's okay. I just yeah.
All right. But, yeah, Nebraska and then Boston College were my first offer.
Okay. So where is Penn State at right now before the season starts? Confidence level, right. What do you lose? What do you have returning defensively?
Right. One thing that keeps coming up today is our loss of Marcus Allen and Jason Kabinda, who are very prominent guys for our defense in terms of leadership and the plays they were able to make. We have a lot of guys who were able to learn from those two. Monty, the DB, he's been somebody who's been a great.
He was with us a little bit ago.
Yeah. Great in his leadership role with the secondary, things like that. So, yeah, we got a lot of guys coming up who were able to learn from those guys. Like, I couldn't get to the ball in time.
Nick, let's spend a little bit of time here about the Big Ten. The East is a beast.
Right.
The West and Wisconsin, pretty big time. Nebraska is climbing back with Scott Frost. Mm-hmm. What's it like to be a Big Ten player, a senior in the league right now?
I think it's awesome. You know, we everybody in the Big Ten has come to their school to play at the highest level of competition, and I think that's exactly what the Big Ten offers. East has been doing some great things, but when you go to the West or play a team from the West, because it's the Big Ten, you always have to bring your A game no matter what.
Take me through Kanick. Like, you're at Iowa. You're the only guys from the East to survive. Legit. I mean, because yep. Ohio State lost, got crushed.
Right.
You had Michigan fall a couple years ago. McSorley goes Superman with that touchdown throw. But that atmosphere, that was just nuts. Huh?
Yeah.
What was that? Is that, like, one of the more memorable games you've been a part of?
Absolutely. The guys, we talk about that game a lot. The atmosphere is unbelievable. But just to add on to that, Iowa is a good football team. They have a lot of gritty guys who play hard, bring their A game every play. So the fact that we were able to get a win in that environment was huge for us. It was very rewarding. But, you know, I couldn't give more credit to that team and how they compete as well as their fans.
Nick, we'll let you get out of here, my man. Thanks so much. Best
Thank
of luck
you.
To you.
Appreciate
it.
Hey, thanks,
All right.
Nick.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome back to Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Danny Burke here alongside Chris Schmidt, who's live from the Windy City for Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. Schmidty, up next, he's got Dave Wanstead, Hall of Fame coach, and Mick Stoltenberg, senior nose guard for the Huskers. Got a bunch more interviews coming after, so you're going to want to hear that. But for right now, let's send it out to Schmidty with Dave Wanstead and Mick Stoltenberg.
Welcome. Hall of Fame coach Dave Wanstead is with us here on Radio Row. Coach Wanstead, of course, long time in the NFL, head coach at Pitt, and amazing coordinator at the U, University of Miami. Coach, thanks. Nice to see you again. How you doing?
Yes, it's great to be back. It's kind of the wake-up call that tells us all it's close. It's here. You know, it's time to get ready for some football. So, I'm excited to see. I think the Big Ten with all the additions. I think it's going to be probably as good a conference as it's been and as competitive.
It is, and you have five real playoff contenders: Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Wisconsin. And how do you see the league faring in 18? Because you had a great group that finished in the top 10 last year, but you missed the college football playoff. Can someone we'll get to some Nebraska stuff here too. That's what our audience loves. But for the most part, can the Big Ten, somebody stay unscathed to get to that playoff spot?
I hope so. You know, I mean, I was all about Ohio State last year. I thought that they were the best team in the conference, and obviously, and you know, that's, and now's not the time. It's too early in the morning, too early in the season, but that's why they need to expand this darn thing. You know what I mean? Because it's, and really, nobody probably should want it expanded more than the head coach at Nebraska, Scott Frost, because if it's six teams, they deserve, Central Florida deserved to get a shot last year. I would have loved to see what they would have done in the playoffs. So it's really unfortunate that someone from the Big Ten didn't get in. I mean, you start eliminating big conferences and people lose interest, and I don't think that's good for college football. Everybody needs to have a dog in the fight when they start.
Well, and the Big Ten has cannibalized each other, much like the SEC has done for years. Dave Wonstad, Fox football analyst, with us here on Radio Row with our friends here in Chicago. Coach, let's talk Scott Frost. What sticks out to you about Coach Frost, first and foremost, that you saw at Central Florida? You know the Nebraska program and tradition. Right. What does he bring back to the program? And where do you think the school's at nationally? Where do you put Nebraska from a relevancy standpoint right now?
Well, I think from Scott Frost, first of all, you know, I'm very familiar with Central Florida, having coached in Florida, as you mentioned, with Miami and recruited there, and the Nebraska program because of playing him and being in that conference at one time when I was at Oklahoma State. So I think I got a good handle on this from the perspective that, you know, everybody talks about, oh, there's a lot of talent in the state of Florida. Well, you still have to go and get those players, and you still have to be able to develop those players. And that's the thing that jumped out at me. I mean, you know, you got to have players to win games. I don't care who the coach is. And I think that's the one thing that Scott Frost really has a good handle on, is the type of player that he wants for his system, where those players are at. I'll be real curious to see how it evolves in the next year or two. You know, I think, you know, he did a high integrity thing this year by staying with the team through the bowl game. You know what I mean? Now, did that affect him a little bit recruiting-wise? It had to. I mean, you know, so, but he's got time. You don't want to win too fast, but it's going to be real interesting to see, you know, how they get players in there. Where do they put the emphasis on getting players to come to Nebraska? Because we all know that to stay in Nebraska doesn't have enough to supply you to compete with Ohio State, as an example, you know, or Wisconsin. So you're going to have to branch out. Are you going to go into Texas? You know, where are you going to a little bit of Florida, I'm sure, because of his contacts. Where are you going to get the players from? Because we know if he gets talent, that him and his staff, they know how to develop them. That's for sure.
See, that's the merger, that's the marriage that I think has done well for Nebraska in the heyday. You get the five star, but you also get the 5 year, and you mesh that talent with the development. And then say you hit a home run and get someone super talented at a baseline spot, they could really thrive. I mean, you experienced both, didn't you? I mean, you guys got great talent at Oklahoma State. I remember those teams in the 80s, right?
Yeah, and good talent.
Great talent. I mean, yeah, great talent.
Well, we tried. We you know, it was tough.
What was your approach? Was it go get that talent and develop it? Or
We were so bad when we started. Now, the first approach was, you come here, you're going to play. You know what I mean? I mean, there wasn't much competition.
But eventually it was Thurman Thomas and Barry Sanders.
And you know
Huntley.
What? Okay. And the other thing that you're selling, because when I was a head coach at Pitt and I would be banging heads against Penn State, you know, one of the things that they would sell at Penn State was, you come to a school in the Big Ten, you're going to be playing in front of 75 to 100 plus thousand people. And I think that's one thing that is a real selling point that we couldn't do, you know, back in the day at Oklahoma State. You know what I mean? Where now that's a great selling point for Scott Frost. I mean, sure. The Big Ten in itself and competing in the every in the Big Ten Network. You can go recruit a kid from Florida right now. And if his parents get the Big Ten Network on TV, you're going to follow shows. You're going to see games. You know, Fox has made a big commitment. You know, the company I'm with, I mean, to the Big Ten. So it's a conference that's on the rise. It's an exciting place to be. And I think Scott Frost is going to get in. And that's what got Mike Riley. Not to beat this down. Mike and I have been friends. You know, that we talked about this for 20 years. But when you start changing coordinators and you start changing offensive philosophies 2 and 3 years into the program, that's – you got no chance. I mean, it's going to get you because you can't develop these players quick enough. Right. Scott Frost is going to come in there. Here's the plan. This is the players we need. Let's go.
Last thought here, Coach. We'll let you get out of here. Dave Wannstedt's with us here on Radio Row. Legendary coach, Pitt, Oklahoma State, defensive coordinator for Miami, the U, with Coach Jimmy Johnson, and with the Dallas Cowboys as well, lead analyst with Fox football coverage for college football. The question of Frost's offense, speed is going to be the emphasis, but from a physicality standpoint, tell me about that. You're a defensive guy. Can this offense work? Can it be tough enough in the Big Ten?
Well, that, you know, the good thing about Scott Frost, he knows what's wanted in Nebraska.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he's not going to go in there and you can run the ball. I mean, the physicality, yeah, it's, you can go tempo, but you can also make an emphasis to be physical, and you're going to have to. I mean, you know, the most physical teams in the country, maybe when you look at the Michigan and Wisconsin and Iowa and the teams he's going to be playing, they're going to slow it down. So it can be an advantage. I think offensively it's a big advantage, what he's going to do. I think the real stress is going to come on his defense. And let me tell you why in 20 seconds here. Because his defense is going to have to be able to line up and face a team that runs two backs in the backfield and runs power football. And having coached defense for a lot of years, you have to practice those things and you have to develop that mentality to really be good at it. So how is he going to get his defense playing at a high level of physicality and at the same time do the things that he knows that he can be successful with offense? That's the biggest challenge.
Dave Wannstedt, Coach, good to see you again.
Okay, good
seeing
you.
It.
Yeah,
good
being on with you. Talk to you later.
Mick Stoltenberg's with us. Mick, what's up? You're on with Schmidt and Hooks and ESPN Lincoln. What's up?
How's it going?
Good. Hooks, say hi and be nice. Mick's across from me.
I'm always nice, but if you, Mick, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing good.
He's a big guy.
I know, man. I heard Smitty say when you walked in, you had just a big tray of protein walking in with you.
I can't hear you guys very well.
Okay, let me work on that.
Sorry about that. Yeah, that's better.
Okay. So, how's Chicago been? Have you been able to take it in? And, hey, you're representing Nebraska. How has it been so far?
It's been awesome. We got in at a good time last night, late afternoon. Went to dinner with Coach and all that and, you know, kind of enjoyed walking around a little bit. It's an awesome city, and, you know, we're honored to be here representing UNL for sure.
Mick Stoltenberg's with us here on Radio Row. Mick, take me through the summer workout. Take me through where the team is at right now, and from a leadership standpoint, that's a big talking point, but how have you felt about that?
You know, I think it's gone great, just about as well as it could have. Started off the summer, you know, kind of coming back from where we were in the spring. I thought we made good strides in the winter and spring. Starting up again, you know, I thought guys were good over the break. You know, worked hard over the break, so we were ready to go in the summer, which is important. You don't want guys just completely sitting around all summer and everything, but it's been a good progression. You know, Coach Duvall is great at designing the program, so it starts out and then progressively gets you know, harder and harder and harder as the summer goes on. So that's been great. And I guess from a leadership standpoint, you know, guys have certainly been emerging in different position groups to kind of step up and be the guy. You're going to need at least one guy in each position group to kind of help lead, plus a few guys kind of to be overall leaders of the team. But I think things have gone well, and the program's been good so far.
How has that been for the captains, kind of coaching guys, the position group captains?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it's gone well. We every Tuesday and Thursday we do a senior led skills and drills. So we do that, and there's guys in each, like I said, in each position group that will run their position through individual period and stuff like that. So it works really well. I think it's gone smoothly. It's a good opportunity we have to work with the younger guys too and kind of get them along too.
What do you say to the younger guys?
You know, I tell the younger guys, hey, I'm here for one more year, and you know, my job is to work as hard as I can right now to get you guys in a position to win football games in the future. You know, as well as take care of business this year. I want to be successful this season. Obviously, we all do. You know, all us seniors and all us older guys, but we also want to put this program in a position to be successful. So that means not leaving anything, you know, not leaving any stones unturned, making sure that we're going through every player on the team and helping them kind of get where they need to be. That's been really important for us this offseason.
Mick, is it important to you to be able to mentor to young kids? Because that's Nebraska's at a point right now where you can have a really good senior season, but it seems like you've accepted and adopted the ability to pay it forward for future guys.
Absolutely. That's a big motivator for me. It has been, you know, since I've, you know, started to get older and I guess become an upperclassman, is, you know, I love helping the younger guys because in turn that will help, you know, the entire team holistically. But it's exciting to help out, you know, in my case, just one of the younger defensive linemen and watching them do good things in practice and eventually take it to the football field. That's always been a big motivator for me. And now I guess more on a grand scale, I feel like me and some of the other seniors have taken the team under our wing and that the new freshman class under our wing and tried to get those guys around as quickly as we can. So it's exciting for us.
A couple more minutes. Mick Stoltenberg with us here on Radio Row, senior Husker nose guard. Take me through a little bit of the defense. I know it's going to be multiple. What are you excited about with this defense, and how have you connected with Coach Dawson?
Start off, yeah, I love working with Coach Dawson. He's been great. He's a great teacher. He's been great at transitioning us and teaching us the new system and, you know, teaching us his terminology and everything. You know, I'm excited just about kind of the way the defense works and just being aggressive. One of Coach Chenander's, you know, big deals is making turnovers, creating turnovers. It's something we struggled at last year. Turnover differential is one of the most important deals in sports, and that's something we're going to work on. Plus, just kind of being aggressive with the way we run the plays and everything like that as well.
Mick Stoltenberg's with us here. Mick, what's your definition of success for 2018?
You know, we want to line up and be competitive and win games against every team we can play. College football is a crazy sport. Any team can win on any given Saturday, and you know, we want to work hard enough in this fall camp coming up to have a good chance against anyone. So I think obviously we will improve on last season. We're excited about that, and we're looking forward to the future for sure.
As last season ended, and you had to kind of recalibrate. Was it easy to move on from last season?
Personally, no. That was rough. It stings still thinking about it. Just the way things went. Just being from here, being a Nebraska kid and dreaming about this my whole life, never would I have imagined in a million years when I signed my name to come play here that we would have had a season like that. It's difficult to deal with, but I'm trying to kind of put it away, I guess use it as motivation for the next season. You know, things are changing now, and hopefully we'll be able to get things right.
Mick, that's pretty clean and transparent answer.
I mean, yeah.
And I think the part of it that sticks out greatly is factoring in being an in-state kid. What's been communicated to you about that responsibility, being a Nebraska kid?
You know, it's important, we were talking about, it's important to make sure that the kids from Nebraska that love this program do end up here and they have a place here. That's number one. But, you know, also, I guess getting other guys to realize, you know, what this program means and the tradition and, you know, what it can mean to someone who's from here and that there's thousands of kids that would want to be here and kind of take your place. And I guess kind of always explaining to people that maybe don't understand that they need to be competitive in this environment, and they need to want to work every day, that someone's going to take their job, because you know, that's the way it should be around here. And I think I should take the fact that I kind of have been around the program my whole life, or been a fan of the program my whole life, and kind of use that in more of a leadership role, just to explain you know, how important this place is, and all the good resources we have, the great fan base we have, and kind of utilizing that and to help us out for sure.
It's Mick Stoltenberg on Radio Row, senior nose guard. Mick, thank you so much, man.
Thank you. Yeah,
it's
appreciate
good to see
it.
You. Yeah. Appreciate Mick. Your time. Mick Stoltenberg's with us here. Thanks, Mick.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio
on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Great stuff there from Dave Wonstedt, along with Mick Stoltenberg. Mick had some good stuff to say about overcoming that 4-8 season last year and how they're going to improve under this Frost regime. So now coming up next with Schmitty in Chicago, we have Iowa quarterback Nate Stanley and Northwestern's middle linebacker Nate Hall with some good stuff here with Chris.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We're here on Radio Row. Nate Stanley is with us, quarterback for the Hawkeyes. Nate, what's up, man? How's your day been?
It's been great.
Yeah? How was breakfast? What'd you do?
It was awesome. Breakfast was good. You know, some good food.
All right. Tell me about the Hawkeyes, man. How has the summer workouts been, and how do you feel about the year?
Summer workouts have been going really good. Everybody's pushing themselves extremely hard, and, you know, all of the workouts have been tough but good. So, yeah, we're looking forward to starting camp here soon.
Okay, tell me about your role as the quarterback, kind of the face, that responsibility. What when you got to Iowa, what did you think it meant to be a quarterback at Iowa?
You know, I think it meant to do a lot. You know, you obviously have a lot of responsibilities, you know, on and off the field. You know, really kind of hold everybody to a high standard, whether that be in the film room or out on the field or in the weight room. So really just holding people to, you know, standard of excellence and pushing themselves 100%.
That's something you've been always good at doing, or did you have to get used to doing?
The verbal leadership aspect of it is something that I was not very good at when I came in, and something that I'm still working on every single day to get better at. But, you know, I think from the time I was little, my parents instilled in me a great work ethic. So really just kind of try to lead by example.
Nate Stanley, quarterback for the Hawkeyes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Who encouraged you to be better verbally?
I think all the coaches, a lot of my peers too, you know, came up to me and, you know, individually or, you know, in passing and said that, you know, you have a big stage and you can take advantage of it. And I think if you become a little more vocal, people will listen, especially because you're not very vocal. So when you say something, it means something. And
the impact.
Yeah, it has a big impact. So, you know, it came from some of my coaches and some of my peers too on the team.
Tell me about high school and, you know, where you grew up, your family. Give me a little backstory to pre-Iowa.
So I grew up in a town called Menominee, Wisconsin. It's about an hour east of Minneapolis. Went to the local high school, played football, basketball, baseball there. I've got two siblings, an older brother and older sister, and had the opportunity to play football and basketball with my brother for 2 years.
So how did Iowa land you? And I'm sure that Wisconsin was interested, Minnesota. I mean, you're in that triangle of Paul Bunyan land, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where, hey, a kid that can throw a pro-style quarterback that's smart and takes care of the football and has a great arm, you're pretty highly coveted, I would assume.
You know, I think the way that Iowa really stood out is when I went to camp there, you know, all the coaches seemed extremely genuine, cared about me more as a person than as a player. And my mom grew up in Iowa, so I have family that's in Iowa, and my dad grew up not too far away from Iowa City into Illinois. So, you know, that kind of worked out where I had family close by, and like I said, just had a great relationship with the coaches there.
What do you like most about your offense, your style, and how efficient you guys are? I mean, you just maul people on a regular basis.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that we always try to do. You know, we pride ourselves in being tough, smart, and physical. And, you know, I think something that's special about our offense is that it prepares a lot of people to play at the next level. Coach Ferentz, obviously being in the NFL, knows what it takes to be at that level and knows what to do to develop people to get to that level. So I think no matter what position you play in our offense, there's always a chance to have the opportunity to play at the next level.
Nate Stanley, a couple more minutes, quarterback for the Hawkeyes, with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. All right, man, the field before the Ohio State game last year and putting up near 60 on the league favorite, the league champ. Take me through that Saturday.
Just went through the same routine, you know, pregame, and you know, when we got to the field in the stadium, it's a different atmosphere, you know, a night game in Kinnick. It's amazing. There's an electricity in there that's like nothing else. And you know, with the first play of the game, Amani taking a back for an interception back for a touchdown, you know, pick six, got us off on the right start, and you know, that energy just never quit for the rest of the game.
Touch on Noah Fant. He is from Omaha, super talented kid, smart kid, and Nebraska fans, whenever he scores another touchdown against Nebraska, just cringe because he's done pretty well against the Huskers. How's he throwing to?
He's amazing. You know, he makes a lot of plays. He's extremely fast, extremely quick, has good hands. And, you know, he's a matchup problem for a lot of people. You know, he's a big body, and he's a tight end playing receiver pretty much. You know, he's just as fast as a lot of receivers and can go make a lot of plays for you.
With the end of the year, Black Friday, Nebraska, touch on that game, how it's been for you. And I guess where does kind of Nebraska stack up from a rivalry standpoint? How much extra emphasis, any emphasis that's extra, is it put on that game?
Yeah, I think any time you play for a trophy, there's always an added intensity. And, you know, I think it's always special to go back to somebody's home state and, you know, win a trophy for them, especially with Noah and Budget, you know, having them from Nebraska, being able to go and help them get that win. You know, it's amazing. It's an awesome feeling.
Nate Stanley's with us, and he's joining us here on Radio Row, Hail Varsity Radio. Hey, Nate, best to you, man. Appreciate watching you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time stopping by.
Appreciate it.
Here at Media Days, it's more Northwestern Wildcat talk. Linebacker Nate Hall is with us. Nate, had a chance to speak with Montre a little bit ago. I want to start where I left off with him. Put into words, what's the first word you think of with the new practice facility?
It's breathtaking. You know, it's almost impossible to put it into words. You almost need to go there and see it for yourself. You know, it's an incredible opportunity to walk in there every day and have the facilities that we do. Thank you to our donors. It's an incredible facility. You know, everything from training to weightlifting to on-the-field work, it's just state-of-the-art. I haven't seen anything like it. You know, and I'm just very fortunate to be a part of that for my final year.
Playing linebacker at Northwestern, there's a high standard with your head coach and Pat Fitzgerald. What's he like as a head coach, and what's he like as a guy you can go to and a resource to touch base with for playing the position that you do?
Right. Exactly what you said. He's one of the best resources to have in college football and football in general for that position. You know, a two-time All-American, to go touch base with him on a daily basis about how you're playing, what you need to do better, you know, is incredible. You know, he's a player's coach, and whenever you need to go talk to him about how you're playing or anything about life, he's there for you. So to have him as a resource is incredible.
Where's an instance that he's helped you grow and be better?
You know, I came into Northwestern out of high school. I was a safety, so I came in as an outside linebacker. And, you know, throughout my 4 years, each year being more aggressive, you know, he's instilled that into my game. He's demanded, you know, higher levels of play from me since day one, and I'm very thankful for him for that. because he always thought the sky was the limit for me. So to have that confidence in me that I could be that great, you know, it's just, I'm really thankful for that.
Northwestern linebacker Nate Hall sitting down with us here, Radio Row, Hail Varsity Radio. So, Nate, tell me about making that transition from safety to linebacker. Did you know about it going in, or is it something that kind of made sense when you got to Northwestern?
It was something I knew about coming in. You know, I play the same position, so I'm out in space most of the time. So there's some parallels playing safety down to that position, more so than the other two inside spots, obviously. But, you know, it's something that you have to learn while you're there. You know, they like to take safeties from high school and that into that position because it's a more athletic, playing space, being able to tackle in the open field. But the transition wasn't too rough. They put me in a lot of different spots. I've played inside, I've played outside, and so I'm thankful for that. Thankful for that because I've become a more well-rounded linebacker.
Is it just insane to try and tackle in space in today's day and age with the athletes and the schemes and the tempo?
Yeah, I mean, I tell the young guys that come in that tackling in space is an art.
It's
an art. It really is. It's something that you have to have a knack for, that you can also improve upon in your time. And it takes, you know, you can't be discouraged when you miss a tackle. You got to go, you know, 100 miles an hour and try to take out a guy's legs or try to, you know, erase the space in between the tackler and the ball carrier. And you know, it's an art that, you know, the guys that have a knack for it, you can tell. It's no secret on film.
Nate, are you able to anticipate better because of film study, or has it just been more live work when you guys do it that help you tackle?
Both. Definitely both.
Is there a lean?
You know, I'd say film study. There might be a lean towards film study once you've established the physical.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I established the physical first. I think I've had that. I just had a knack for tackling in open space. But taking your film study to the next level helps you tackle in space. So just taking my film preparation and understanding what offenses are trying to do to us as a defense, or me individually as a Sam out there, if they're reading me or not, or how they're trying to block me, understanding that makes tackling in space easier because you can erase time from a play. You can make the tackle in a second and a half in a play instead of 2 seconds. You know, that's the difference between 6 points and TFL. So.
Right. Well, and it's you cutting your steps down, are you there, and then can you wrap? Nate Hall, linebacker, Northwestern with us. Nate, what's it about the Nebraska Northwestern series that's been, why has it been so wild?
It's the two ends battling it out in the West Division. You know, Lincoln, Nebraska is an incredible atmosphere on Saturdays. We love going there, playing there. You know, it's two teams that have tremendous respect for each other and two teams that will not quit on the field. And you can feel that when you're playing. And that's why when you step on the field against Nebraska and vice versa, that, you know, you got to bring your A game. And that's just a tough West Division battle right there. It's always a fun one. And that's why, you know, we guys like myself come to go to Northwestern, and guys from, you know, Nebraska go there and, you know, to play in games like that.
Any familiarity with Coach Frost?
No.
No. The offense, the tempo, the speed?
A little bit. Vaguely.
Sure.
Yeah.
Last thought here. You chose Northwestern. Why?
The coaching staff, combination of athletics and academics, playing football in the Big Ten.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, you're awesome. Nate,
appreciate
the time, man.
Of course.
All right.
Have a good one.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Some good stuff there from Iowa's quarterback Nate Stanley, middle linebacker of Northwestern, Nate Hall. Schmitty now with Stuart Mandel of The Athletic has a good interview with him. We'll take you back out to Chicago with Chris Schmidt and Stuart Mandel.
Welcome in with The Athletic, Stuart Mandel on Hail Varsity Radio. Stuart, nice to see you here at Big Ten Media Days. Love what The Athletic's doing. Let's start with that. And, man, you've got the world of college football covered. Great writers, great talent, and a lot of positivity here the first 2 days at Big Ten Media Days.
Thank you. We do believe we've now established it as the premier college football site on the internet. We've got seven national writers now, you know, myself, Bruce Feldman, in that group, and then we've now got it up to 19 team writers and growing. So it's been a great response so far. TheAthletic.com/CFB expansion. They're running a great promo right now.
Okay, talk about Nebraska. Is there going to be a writer for Nebraska, The Athletic? Hail Varsity, we're magazine, website, radio. The Athletic, from a national standpoint, is incredible as well, but there's a lot of Nebraska talent out.
Yeah. Do you have somebody in mind in particular? Believe me, we'd love to have a Nebraska writer. We know
I have several. I just don't know.
After we're done, I'll ask you for your nominations. But yeah, absolutely, we'd love to have a Nebraska writer.
First and last time Stewart will appear
nothing,
on the show.
Nothing imminent, but you know, we do still obviously cover that program a lot. I had a Scott Frost column today. Max Olson from our
Max is
staff.
Great.
He's great. He went to Nebraska. We'll be making regular appearances in Lincoln this season.
That's good. Stuart Mandel with us, Hail Varsity Radio from The Athletic. I tell you what, I enjoy your podcast with Bruce. Bruce was on. Bruce Feldman was with us yesterday. And, Stuart, let's spend a minute here on Nebraska, your column, your thoughts on Frost and that marriage you spoke about, the power and then of Nebraska football, the run game, that bone-crushing Nebraska mentality and physicality, and then you mix it with the Oregon lightning quickness and that blur approach. Can it work in the Big Ten? Do you think it – I think Frost can do it, but there's other talented teams that can react to it in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think from a scheme standpoint, there's no doubt it can be extremely effective. We've seen that. Frankly, it's surprising to me that he's the first one from that Chip Kelly tree to actually get hired at a Power 5 school other than Oregon. Talking to him yesterday in an interesting line about, you know, when Oregon was at its peak under Chip and they were blowing everybody out in the Pac-12, but then they would lose to an Auburn in the national championship game and they'd get shut down and everybody would say, well, they're not tough enough. And he basically admitted to that. He said the games that we lost at Oregon, there weren't many, but the games that they lost, you know, we really got shoved around. We weren't physical enough. And so he wants this at Nebraska. He wants to blend them, as you said, to have the up-tempo, the spread them out, but also be smash mouth. And I think you can do that. I think we saw Ohio State do that, frankly, when they won the national championship in 2014. The question he's facing is, can you recruit Ezekiel Elliott and all those guys to Nebraska when you don't have that natural backyard?
Well, and listen, I mean, Nebraska was in on Ezekiel Elliott. Ohio State just a much clearer choice at that time. You know, a St. Louis kid in Ezekiel Elliott, that's not ultra far from Nebraska, that 500-mile radius they recruit to, but Zeke's in Ohio State, it's a no-brainer.
Ohio State's got it to the point where they can pick who they want from out of state. You know, they're going to get the Ohio kids, and then they're going to go get a guy from Florida or a guy from St. Louis in his case. And so that's Scott Frost's challenge now, because that's the whole class, you know, for the most part. They are going to, as he's talked about, you know, a lot now, try to get the walk-on program back up and going and have the Nebraska kids. But to win a national championship or win even a Big Ten championship, you know, you're going to have to go get the 4- and 5-star kids from other places. And you're going to have to sell them on, as of today, on something other than come be part of restoring the tradition, because as he said yesterday, the parents know about it, but the kids don't. That's not the selling point right now.
No, you have an interesting kind of moment right now with the parents or the decision makers remembering Frost, remembering Frazier, remembering Osborne. The kids, I mean, it's a lost generation. Even in the state of Nebraska, they're wearing Oregon.
Yeah.
My kid's wearing Michigan State, and he's growing.
Right.
Because they've been good since they've had that age of when
they don't know about Nebraska, but they know about Marcus Mariota.
Sure.
And they know about UCF going undefeated last year.
And
that's what he's selling.
Nebraska and the Central Florida and kind of bring it together. I think the development's going to be huge, not just from a physicality standpoint, but I think Frost, from an evaluation standpoint, is going to be elite with finding the quarterback and then developing the quarterback. I look at Adrian Martinez is really good. He inherited Jebbia, but Jebbia is a pretty talented guy, and there's more quarterbacks out there. I think you tell me what you think. Frost can be a difference maker when it comes to getting that key quarterback to Lincoln, and that's where Nebraska can kind of separate themselves, bringing in the quarterback that will make the play to win the game.
Yeah, obviously Adrian Martinez has got a lot of people excited after that spring game. He seems like a really good fit for that offense. And, you know, he really played up. He has been playing up his quarterback lineage, as you would assume he would.
You need to.
I mean, when he mentioned that Vernon Adams was second in the country in pass efficiency, I thought he was kidding, but I looked it up, and sure enough, that year he was he led the country in pass efficiency that year. I didn't remember that. But anyway, yeah, I'm not worried about his ability to recruit quarterbacks, his ability to develop offensive linemen, all those things. I think what's getting overlooked in all this is, you know, Rask hasn't been very good on defense recently either, and you can do a lot of things with scheme and strategy and offense, but at defense you got to have the players. And can they start getting to the point where they're, you know, frankly getting back to the point where they've got a defense that's got where half the starting lineup is going to go on to the NFL. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin's doing that right now very effectively. Can Nebraska do that as well?
5.6 yards per carry. Can you stop the run in the Big Ten? And the answer has been no.
Right.
Against Iowa, against Wisconsin. Your take on Wisconsin, do they dethrone Ohio State this year? Can they?
I think they've got an excellent chance. You know, they've been in the championship game the last 2 years. It's not like they got blown off the field in
They're
either
right
of those
there.
Games. They were right there. This team, this Wisconsin team, is a little different in that the questions are all on defense. You know, Alex Hornibrook gets criticized, but he's an effective quarterback. They've got great skill talent around him, obviously. All five offensive line starters back at Wisconsin is a scary thought. But will they reload on defense yet again with the guys that they lost? I mean, they do have some exceptional guys coming back. I love Dakota Dixon. He's a great playmaker at safety. But to have that run, to win the Big Ten, maybe make the playoff, you know, that's where the questions are.
A lot of news with Ohio State today. Stuart Mandel is with us. The Athletic is an incredible college football site. Hail Varsity Radio. And can subscribe, can log on theathletic.com. And just a great assemblance of writers. And don't forget the podcast with him and Bruce Feldman. That's great stuff to listen to as well. Ohio State and Coach Smith dismissed. What's next for Ohio State? Do they just kind of plug in another guy that's going to be a great recruiting coordinator and a great recruiter?
Well, in terms of being a receiver coach, it does seem like they've got a guy sitting right there, Brian Hartline, who played there, I want to say that was about 7 or 8 years ago now, played in the NFL, has been a behind-the-scenes guy for the last year. So that should be fine. I think right now we all came out of that press conference this morning with more questions than we had before. He'll be back here at 2 to do the breakout rooms. I mean, you can understand why he's fired, but the timing doesn't really add up. If he, as Urban Meyer said today, clearly knew everything about what happened in 2009. So he's going to face some more questions later today.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Welcome back to Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Danny Burke here, Chris Schmidt still with Stuart Mandel here, coming to the latter part of that interview in Chicago for Big Ten Media Days.
When you look at the national scene of college football, Stuart, and I'll let you get out of here on this. Thanks for stopping by. It's great to talk to you again. The Pac-12, are they a conference that can climb up? Because they've been kind of – there's a perception out there about the Pac-12. Big 12, where are they at? The SEC, let's kind of look at those other three with who are some teams on the verge that are going to help run with Bama, going to help run with Oklahoma, going to help run with what Washington and Stanford have been doing?
I think in the Pac-12, the two teams you just mentioned, Washington and Stanford, that's almost my entire list of contenders
that's
for
it.
This year. Yeah. Oregon could crash it with Justin Herbert. He's a really good quarterback. The South is really weak. In the Big 12, everybody's talking about West Virginia, and they're going to be really good with Will Grier, but don't overlook TCU. They were in the Big 12 championship game last year. They've won 11 games, 3 of the last 4 years. Somehow people never talk about them, even with all that. In the SEC, you know, they did the poll last week. It was Georgia, Alabama again. But I think that Auburn, I put Auburn right there with them. You know, they didn't have a great finish to last season, but they did beat both Georgia and Alabama pretty soundly during the season. And Jarrett Stidham has a chance to be one of the best quarterbacks in the country. It's frankly been a while since Auburn had a quarterback like this. So, you know, if somebody's going to crash the party from that conference, it's probably going to be them.
Is there a game of the year you're most excited about?
Whew. There's not like an early season blockbuster like there has been the last couple of years, although I am really intrigued by both Michigan, Notre Dame, and Auburn, Washington. I think that I immediately flashed to Thanksgiving weekend. Ohio State, Michigan will have consequences. You know, the Iron Bowl will have consequences. But the beauty of college football is there will be games that nobody has circled right now. I mean, I remember a few years ago being at a Mississippi State Auburn game where they were ranked second and third in the country. And never in a million years at the beginning of the season, I guess I'd be in Starkville for a game where Mississippi State actually rose to number one after they won. So that's always fun to me. Yeah, that's always fun. Who will be the teams and what will be the games that you didn't see coming this year?
Stuart Mandel, The Athletic is where you can read him. Great column and story on Scott Frost. Great college football coverage with The Athletic. And, of course, his podcast with Bruce Feldman. Stuart, hey, we'll do this again. Thanks for your time. Thanks for talking some college football with Hale Varsity.
Great stuff there from Stuart Mandel and from Schmitty all around. That's going to wrap it up for us for Big Ten Media Days. Be sure to check out all the interviews, all the clips. We tweeted out a bunch of them, some of our favorites from the interviews from yesterday and today. You can find that on the ESPN 1480 Twitter. Chris Schmidt at Schmidt_radio, at Danny Burke 5 for me. We've been retweeting them and sending them out the past few days, so you can get some good stuff from there. And of course, the podcast on iTunes. Yesterday we had part one of Big Ten Media Days, Matt Davison, Bill Moose, and a bunch of others, Stanley Morgan Jr. And today, of course, we had a jam-packed show as well, so you can catch that later tonight or tomorrow on the podcast. Thanks to Bruce Feldman, Gerald Foster, Paul Meyerberg, Clayton Thorson, Nick Scott, Dave Wanstead, Mick Stoltenberg, Nate Stanley, Nate Hall, and Stuart Mandel for taking the time to come out and interview with Schmitty today. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back tomorrow with Mitch Sherman and Chewy, and Schmitty will be back in the studio. Hale Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Thanks for listening.